You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And we here at EFR love our brothers and sisters around the world. And our hearts go out to you. Our thoughts are of you continually. And we desire to gather you in like a hen gathers her chicks. The title of this message is The Extermination of Judah, Part 3. Now, we really haven't even got into the meat of this book yet, and we've seen that this Jew is a liar. Now, I'm not going to be able to read the whole book. I mean, I'm not going to do The Extermination of Judah, Part 17, or Part 29 or something like that. I suppose you'll have to read the book. But when it suffices, maybe I do one more, I don't know. We'll see what Yahweh directs. But by the time we're done with this little series, you'll understand the hypocrisy of the Jew. And you'll understand why we are where we are today. Now, I must remind you again of the equation. World War I plus World War II equals where we are today. Okay. Before I go into anything, I'd like to reveal something to you, my brothers and sisters. I always like to reveal things that Yahweh reveals to me. And this is in relation to the show that Andrew and I did. I was on Andrew's show. And it was a pleasure. We spoke about Kubrick's messages. And we spoke about The Shining. And at the end, if you've listened to it, and I suggest you do, the equation was 11, 12, and 13. Well, I'm going to just show you what that means very quickly. I did say it at the end, but I'd like to just clarify it just a little bit more. Let's go to the King James Version. And let's go to Genesis Chapter 36. Yes, it's revelation time. I love revelation time when Yahweh shows me little trinkets and he gives me little trinkets of the gold of his word. I get excited. I jump for joy. My soul jumps. I love it. Now, you do know that the woman Israel, who we are, the 12 tribes, in biblical format, our number is 12. The woman who had 12 stars around her head, she was clothed with the sun. That is us. Now let's see who 11 is. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. See, Esau, who is Edom, meaning red. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, race mix, and Aholibama. It sounds like a president, Aholibama, an abomination. The daughter of Ana, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, race mixed, and Bashamath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Well, Ishmael's daughter was at least, maybe, I'm not sure. I think she was white. So there's one white wife. Let's go on, though. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholabama bare Jush. And Jalem and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan. Remember, when they split it up, Jacob had got the land, you see. And Esau was counseled to take all the gold and the cattle and the beasts, etc., the substance. And he went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. From their riches were more than they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. Pay attention to this next one very carefully here. And Timnah was a concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare Eliphaz Amalek. This is where the tribe of Amalek came from. You know, the tribe that attacked the Israelites when they were just making their journey to the homeland. These were the sons of Adar, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel, Nahath and Zerah, Shammah and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholabama, the daughter of Anah, and the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare unto Esau Jush, Jalem, and Korah. These were the dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz. So there were 11. And this is why Esau is number 11. Edom, the Edomites. They're represented by the 11, the number 11. So the equation at the end of the movie goes like this. Edom will destroy the seed of Jacob with the help of man perfected. 11 is Edom, Edomites. 12 would be Jacob, the tribes of Israel. And they would be helped by man perfected. Who is man perfected? Well, the number of man is 6. And the number of perfection is 7. 6 and 7 is 13, which means man perfected. This was the promise of the devil in the garden that man would become God. So that's all I have to say about that situation. And I think that's very interesting. Hopefully you get something out of that. So when you see 11, I will mention that Chris Peed mentions that Gog is mentioned exactly 11 times in the Old Testament. And Gog, of course, has to do with the Edomites. Okay, let's go to our book here and begin. Now, I skipped down to the second so-called chapter called Background of Germanism. And all that was said between last week and this week is things like, this Jew said he doesn't like war and all these kinds of things. You know, the lies that had been told, I had pointed all of them out. And remember that you can just take the Germans out of this book, practically. Maybe in a couple of cases it might not work. But you can just trade Jews in the place of Germans, and the book would make a lot more sense. Okay? I want you to listen to this hypocrite, this Jew, and I want you to hear what he says in the beginning. it's incredible. The beginning of chapter 2, Background of Germanism. First sentence, Germans are an execrable people. What does execrable mean? I have it right here. We'll look it up. Well, the Germans are this: extremely bad or unpleasant, like a cheap wine, appalling, atrocious, lamentable, egregious, awful, dreadful, terrible. These are the synonyms. They're saying that that's what the German people are. Now, do you think that that fits the Jews, or do you think that that fits the Germans? I leave that into your capable hands. Okay, so supposedly the Germans are an execrable people. Say that 10 times fast. They think and dream of nothing but chicanery. Do I need to even say anything about that? Who dreams and thinks of chicanery and does nothing but chicanery? What race do you know? Is it the Germans, ladies and gentlemen? Is it the Germans that think of chicanery? Or were they very intelligent people, and that's why the Jews ran to Germany so that they could mate with them, so that they could gain their brains from them? Never mind their whiteness. Never mind the fact that they're the cream of the crop of the tribes. They think and dream of nothing but chicanery. This is a Jew speaking now. I want you to... So this is hypocrisy, complete hypocrisy. I mean, this book is just... It's discredited immediately. It's just discredited. Their great joy consists in fault-finding, shrieking, and threats. They brandish the... Just picture my saying. Hypocrisy is the beacon of the Jews. Now, this beacon is shining in the first three sentences of this chapter. Never mind the first part of this book. We already know that. They brandish arms, which are like barbed clubs. From their mouths, instead of ordinary human speech, issue the rumbling of artillery and the clash of steel. Their life is one of perpetual explosion. The German does not live on the heights. He avoids light. Hello? Hello? I'm German. I love light. I don't avoid light. Who avoids light? Does the Jew avoid light? Does the Jew avoid truth? And from his hiding place, does the Jew hide? And from his hiding place, he picks to pieces treaties, exercises his malign influence on newspaper articles. Are you hearing this? Are you even hearing this, ladies and gentlemen? I'm serious. Can you see the beacon of the Jews, which is hypocrisy here? Who exercises his malign influence on newspaper articles? He does that, so the German does that, pores over maps, measures angles, and traces with gloating eagerness the lines of frontiers. To love their country is for them to despise, flout, and insult every other country. They are capable of little else but cheating and lying. Even to themselves. Are you hearing this? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you so much. This book is gold when you want to expose these pigs. They are capable of little else but cheating and lying, even to themselves. They meddle in everyone else's affairs, poking their nose into matters that do not concern them. Criticizing everything, bossing everything, lowering and distorting everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know if I can go on. This is so ridiculous. What a pity that 23 centuries after Socrates and Plato, 2,000 years after Christ, like as if he has anything, Jews have nothing to do with Socrates, Plato, or Christ, except they killed Christ. Probably Socrates too. The voice of men like these should still be heard in the world. Worse still, that they should be listened to, and worst of all, that anyone should believe them. Country for them is an isolated organism, and they admit it is possible for them to live and breathe in an atmosphere of haughty contempt for their neighbors. Jeez. They conceive their country as a permanent element of dissolution, like a devouring and insatiable monster, a beast of prey, whose one function is to plunder. Hello? The Jew is guilty of all these things. Do you know why Germany wanted to gain back parts of Poland and parts of other countries? Because they had been stolen from them in World War I when they lost, which should have never happened. And the people that were living in those countries were being persecuted, even though they owned the territory now. Those people stayed in those territories. They were Germans, and they were having a real hard time with the Poles and other countries that had their territory had been stolen from them. So Germany wanted to get those people back under its wing so that they could be protected from these things. You know, Germany had to take Norway at one point. And they were maligned because of it. In other words, they was, oh, look at these people trying to take over countries. It wasn't for that reason at all. They came in friendly, and they wanted to be friendly to the people of Denmark because they beat the Allies to the punch. The Allies were going to go take over Denmark. And Germany beat them to the punch. And the reason for it was they were trying to protect a place over in Sweden where they got their iron ore from. And they didn't want the Allies to be able to cut off this iron ore. It was very important. So Hitler had to be convinced. At first he didn't want to do that. But he had to be convinced by one of his generals that this was a strategic move. They tried to do it the nice way, and instead it ended up a war against them. And they had to do some bombing, and they had to do some fighting to take it. Let's move along. Let's see what this Jew has to say. They conceived their country as a permanent element of dissolution, like a devouring and insatiable monster, a beast of prey whose one function is to plunder. All that it does not possess, it has been robbed of. That's the Jew, ladies and gentlemen. All that it does not possess, it has been robbed of. This Jew, I mean, obviously this guy can't even see what he's writing on the page. The universe belongs to it by the right. By right. Whoever attempts to escape from its tyranny is a rebel. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this is blowing my mind. This is blowing my mind. Just put the Jew in that case. They don't have any countries, right? But all that it does not possess, it has been robbed of, the Jews. All the universe belongs to it by right, the Jews. Whoever attempts to escape from its tyranny is a rebel, the Jews. Today, if you don't want to be part of their tyranny, we'll force democracy upon you. We'll kill you in order to have it. And if you don't agree with the tyranny, you are a rebel. You are an outcast. You are a terrorist. You are somebody that is just a horrible, horrible racist or whatever you can almost think of. This jingo country, this bloodthirsty fetish of which they are the champions, the Jew fits this completely, completely. They endow with the capriciousness of potentates when it suits their purpose, with every marvelous and charming attribute. Whoever does not at once agree with their extravagances is a barbarian, or is a barbarism, he says. You must love their country in full armor, with dervish-like celebrations and howls, eyes shut and body trembling with ecstasy. A deaf ear must be turned to the rest of the world on its failings. Everything that is not, it must be hated. Hate is sacred. Love and hate are in the connection with your country, two terms proceeding from one condition of mind. This all describes the Jew. For them, industrial progress is not a happy sign of national prosperity, but a means of domination. Did you just hear that? For them, industrial progress is not a happy sign of national prosperity, but a means of domination. This is what they're claiming the Germans are. You see, the main problem with the Jew is this, ladies and gentlemen. They do not understand the Aryan mind. They do not understand the tribes of Israel, who are Jacob, the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes that came from Jacob. They do not have our mindset. They are international. They don't think like we think. They don't care about the things we care about. All they care about is their God, money. All they care about is destroying. Everything they've accused the Germans of in this book so far, they are guilty of. Guilty. That's it. I don't think that's even, you could even refute it. Geography is not the science of the earth, but a mere revelation of the boundaries between which are elaborated strategical schemes of conquest. Every neighbor is of necessity a jealous one, and the enemy who is vigilant is jealous too. The world is populated by hyenas crouching on the plots of the earth from which they ought to be dislodged. If you had heard what the Jewish rabbi said, this would make a lot of sense to you. The German has decided that his race has been elected by God to order the modern world. Let me just stop right there. Let's change this around. The Jew has decided that his race has been elected by God to order the modern world. Do you see the hypocrisy? Can you see this? How clear this is? This Jew is blind as a bat. Either that or he knows what his race is, and he's just accusing them of the very things that his race is involved in. Hitler never said he was trying to take the whole world, but the Jews have said that. The Jew has decided that his race has been elected by God to order the modern world. Anyone who resists him will be an arrogant usurper who ought to be crushed. The German professes to want peace, but it must be his own sort of peace, after the pattern of the Persian satraps who, out of love for peace and concord, throws everything to the lions who dares to dispute him. His voice is raucous and resounding. He does not argue, but makes sweeping assertions and lays down the law. Who lays down the law today, ladies and gentlemen? Who professes to want peace, even here in this book? Did the Germans profess to want peace? Well, they didn't want to enter the war. So yes, the Germans did not want to enter World War II. They were very prosperous at the time. Why bother? However, they did want to save their people from the things that they were going through in the parts of the country that were stolen from them in the First World War. So let's say it this way. The Jew professes to want peace, but it must be his own sort of peace, like from the UN with 70, 80 wars. After the pattern of the Persian satraps. Okay, I don't have to go through that part, but you get the idea. He holds forth on the authority of a sacred categorical imperative, which stands in the stead of truth, Judaism, right? The Jew does this. I'm just going to keep changing this now. He, the Jew, holds forth on the authority of a sacred categorical imperative, the Talmud, which stands in the stead of truth. Isn't that what Yeshua said? that they make the laws of man more important than the laws of God, which the laws of God are truth. The Talmud is fiction, most of it. The Talmud is a guise so that they could have a religious book. However, it's not a religious book at all. I told you that the Jews are a political movement, as you can see, in the guise of a religion. Why in the guise of a religion? Because it protects them. If they were just a political movement like National Socialism or Communism, they wouldn't have the luxury of the protection of a religion. Think about what I'm saying, and it makes great sense. It was a move of genius to do this little cover, this little pretense that they are a religion, so that they could do all the dirty things that they've done in the guise of being a religion, in the guise of being God's chosen people, in the guise that the Talmud is a holy book, in the guise that they care anything about Yahweh or the Old Testament, which they don't. Let's just keep continuing with this and put the Jew in, because this certainly doesn't fit the Germans. Should he, the Jew, find himself confronted by the law, he says that it needs reforming. Ministers are mere clerks to be used as pawns in his maneuvering. It fits. If the shoe fits, Jew, wear it. He is exacting and cantankerous. Wherever he undertakes to shout with him, never shouts loud enough. This is the Jew. This is the Jew, not the German. To give in to him means becoming enlisted as his civil agent. He is an agitator and a swashbuckler. Yes, he is. He dips his pen in gall and sets in motion with his antics the marionettes which appeal to the nation and may come to conquer it. The fundamental superiority of the Jewish race, the necessity of expanding Jewish prestige in all quarters of the globe, of protecting the Jew wherever he may be found, no matter what he may be, because he bears within him a residuum of the Jewish race. You see, it's as simple as that. And that is exactly fits the Jew to a T. It does not fit the German. This is the very case, ladies and gentlemen, that is in our Bible today, or in the scriptures, or in the books, whatever you wish to call them. You see, the Jew has replaced himself for us, so that the book doesn't make any sense any more than this book makes sense about the Germans. It makes no sense. However, you put the right person in the right place. You put the Jew, change the Jew for the German in this book, and you can see clearly. I've just shown it to you. How many more times do I have to show it to you? It fits the Jew. Who is an agitator and a swashbuckler? Who never shouts loud enough? Who is cantankerous? Well, it's the same way in the Bible. If you put us, the Caucasian people, who are the true Israelites of the Bible, in place of where these Jews have tried to take over being the chosen people. See, we are the race that Yahweh, we are the offspring of Yahweh. That's why we are his chosen. Certainly not because we're the best at obeying. As you can see, we have our troubles. But the Jew who became involved in scribing the Bible through people like David, King David, etc., they found out about our covenants. They found out about what Yahweh says about us, and they became jealous. And they decided to pretend that they would be us, just like their father masquerades as an angel of light. He's no angel of light. He's no angel of... He's now an angel of darkness. They can call him Lucifer, the bright one. They can call him whatever they want. He masquerades as an angel of light. And his children are just like him. They masquerade as the sons and daughters of Yahweh, as the 12 tribes of Israel. Which, of course, no, they just say they're the tribe of Judah, and that they have the other tribes just disappeared. As if Yahweh didn't know where his people were. Yeah. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. It just doesn't add up. But let's move along here. May I remind you that I'm going to keep putting the Jew in place of the German for a little while here so that you get the idea. Just remember, when I say Jew, he wrote Germans or whatever you want to say, or Nazis, or whatever it is, okay? A vivid portrait of a Jew. Emphatically so. And yet, though 30 years have passed since it was first written, we can easily discern in the character of the Jew of that remote period of every single trait which characterized the Jew madmen of today. Yesterday, they may have been called pan-Jews. Today, they're called Jews. Yesterday, they were called Edomites. Today, they're called Jews. Tomorrow, perhaps, super-Jews. Time cannot change the infernal breed, whatever its label. Time merely a vivid portrait of a Jew. Emphatically so, and yet, though 30 years have passed since it was first written, we can easily discern in the character of the Jew of that remote period. I don't know why he wrote that. Okay, he wrote it twice in a row, so that's an error in the book for some reason. Okay, so yesterday they may have been called... Yeah, he's writing this twice. It's amazing. Time merely enlarges the field in which the Jew can, with every increasing intensity and thoroughness, practice those monstrous acts which he fevered, war-intoxicated brain dictates, and his vile instincts and barbaric savage soul prompts. If today the urge of his war soul can prompt the Jew to murder innocent hostages, imagine, if you can, how that same soul will express itself throughout the thousandfold more fanatic Jews of tomorrow. To most people, the fantastic progress of the Jew has seemed as meteoric and unexpected, and as unheralded bolt of lightning suddenly discharged from the heavens. Others hold tenaciously, with dangerous deception, to the opinion that the Jew came into power only as a result of Jew-termed inequities of the Versailles Treaty. Anyway, this is amazing because it just... I don't know how to explain it to you, but they can't see for themselves. They don't understand us. They don't really want to understand us. They just want to destroy us. So as you see in this book, Germany is the last vestige of Europe, and it's the strongest of it. Remember now that Yahweh commanded us to take dominion over the garden, correct? And remember that Hebrew means colonizer. Therefore, we are obeying. When we did what we did throughout all of time, we were obeying Yahweh's wish. And this carried on until the time of Jacob's trouble, until the seventh beast handed the crown to Rothschild. And now we are in the, so the yoke was taken off, Jacob's yoke was taken off of Edom, of Esau, as was foretold by Isaac in the Bible. And here we are. So this man is claiming that the Germans are a warlike people. Well, I mean, Judah was warlike too. We are supposed to be warriors. So what are you trying to say? But who is the warlike people? Who is the people that doesn't fight any war, that don't fight any wars, but pays for them to be fought and continually wants war, perpetual war, for every country possible? Who is that people? Is that the Germans? No, ladies and gentlemen. As history will prove, and as today's history proves, it's the Jew. Their UN, which always has to be headed by a communist, proves that that ideology is perpetual war. Just remember what this book is saying. It's saying, as I said last week, the Jew proposed this to all the world, that the Germans are against all the world, and if we could just kill all of them, there'll be peace in the world finally. See, again, they fit that dynamic, you see. They fit into that. If you killed every Jew on the planet, there would be peace. But if you killed every German on the planet, we see that Germany has been denuded, right? Because Germany was the only one left that could protect Europe. Now Europe is open for rape. It's open to be walked right all over, which is happening, correct? Who made it that way? The Jew. They promised peace because of that. Is there peace in Europe today? Stupid question. Let me take a sip of coffee while I think of how stupid that question really is. Is there peace in the Middle East today? Is there peace in America today? Is there peace anywhere today? So we see that the answer is no. There's not peace in South America. I did a news on my news program showing you the biggest cities that are the most non-white are the places that are the biggest killing fields of the world. And a lot of them are in South America. And we have three cities in America. I think it was, three. In America that are in that list. And now you see all of Europe is in disarray. The UK, etc. The European Union should be broken anytime now, hopefully. Hopefully the Brits will get out of the European Union, which I would recommend. Of course, who am I? I'm no world leader or expert. Only the experts have the right to think anything, right? Yeah, that's why we put them on your news shows, ladies and gentlemen. We have Jewish talking heads teaching you because you're stupid. And you can't really figure out what these news stories are telling you. And so we pay these Jewish talking heads to come on to program your mind on what to believe about these situations. You see, just this book here is like a Jewish talking head. Remember I told you about the Kehillah and the scribes and all that. Well, this man is a scribe. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to convince the world that Germany is in opposition to the whole world, when it's rather Jewry that is in opposition to the whole world. He's trying to get you to agree with him that the only path to peace is to get rid of these warmongers. How come they didn't say that about Napoleon? They didn't think of it then, did they? How come they didn't say that about the people that went and destroyed the Tsar? Oh, because they are them. That's why. How come he didn't write a book about England, how it's being denuded by the Rothschilds? How come he didn't write a book about that? And that they are at enmity with all the world. And that we should all go get the Rothschilds. How come he didn't write a book like that? So this book is here to convince you that even though they believe, he says in this book, that 20% of the Germans are, 20% of the Germans are, you know, innocent of this. But what's 20% compared to our 300 million or whatever it is he said it was at that time? So in other words, so what? We kill the innocent Germans with the rest of the warmongering Germans just to wipe them completely off the planet. And then we'll be on the path to peace. What happened after 1945? What happened in the 50s? Didn't we go to war with Korea in Korea? What about Vietnam? What about Cambodia? And on and on and on. And what about Iraq? What about Iran? What about Afghanistan? What about Syria? What about North Korea? But the priority now is to kill the rest of the white race. You see, they couldn't see it then, these Jews. But if they just kill the rest of the white race, then we'll be on the path to peace. We Jews took it. We didn't realize. We figured if we just killed the Nazis off, that would be it, and so on and so forth. Now, let me remind you, the Palestinians are being genocided as well, right? By the Jews? If we can just get rid of them, we'll have peace too. Can't you see what I'm telling you? They use their media to convince you of these things. They brainwash you on a daily basis. The idiotic Judeo-Christians watch these news programs, and then they begin to scream that we should bomb Iran. For what? Iran's not doing anything to us. I'm going to tell you what the real concern should be in our world. Okay? I spoke about the Dimona plant. Dimona. Female demon. Dimona. Even though it's spelled D-I-M-O-N-A. Now, Kennedy said that we would regret that, and I agree with him 100%. The biggest mistake this world has ever made is to allow the Jews to have those weapons. And those weapons are unchecked as well. This is the biggest mistake that this world has ever made. Kennedy knew it. He was opposed to it. I'm certainly opposed to it. Because I know one thing. I know one thing, and you should know it in your heart too. When it comes to destroying the whole world, what race do you think would push that button? Do you think the white race would do that? Do you think the black race would do that? Could be possible. Could be possible. But I know one race that will absolutely do that. And they will absolutely use that as a hostage situation for the world. Now, I just was kidding with Dan, and I told him that the Pope said we must be building bridges, not walls. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you know that Netanyahu is building a wall of fences around Israel? How come the Pope doesn't say that to Netanyahu? How come? He wouldn't dare. He's too busy bowing down to these Jews and his master, who is Lucifer. In 2013, the Pope recognized Lucifer as God. In case you haven't seen that. You've seen that this idiot Pope, who, you know, what's funny about the way I look at this Pope is the same way I look at Obama, the same way I look at Merkel, the same way I look at all world leaders that are world leaders today, almost all, okay? These world leaders are all affirmative action leaders. Almost all of them. I've listened to the Pope speak. This man does not belong in that office. He doesn't have the brains for that office. He doesn't have the qualifications for that office. You can tell that he doesn't have any understanding of the Bible whatsoever. He is a mere politician of Babylon. And he's leading people right down the toilet. These people worship this Pope. When you see him going through, Eli says, after Germany must perish, you should do the Jews must live. Yeah. Yes, Eli, I will do the Jews must live. The Jews must all live over there in that little enclosed fence so that when they threaten to push the button, hopefully the missiles or whatever's in there will somehow malfunction and just go off and just completely nuke them off the planet. Maybe this is the Holocaust Yahweh will cause. One never knows, and I'm all for it. Because after that happens, after the nuclear dust goes away, there will be peace on earth. When Yahweh's cleans this earth up, refreshes it, and brings down the New Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be so wonderful. It says even the trees will rejoice. Even the trees know that something's wrong. I watch the little birdies all the time. It seems that they're in their own little world and they don't particularly know what's going on. They don't know communism is encroaching. They don't know that these world leaders, when you look at somebody like Obama, you're looking at somebody who has zero qualification to be in the office he's in. Zero. This man can't even speak without a teleprompter. He's not a man anyway. He's 3/5 of a man. If that. You look at Merkel. You look at the women that are involved in government. This is why Yahweh doesn't want women involved in government, because this is what happens. Oh, there's Dave going again, telling you the truth. I can take any truth under the sun, but don't talk about women. Oh, no. They're guiltless. The reason why Yahweh has things the way he has them is because that things work that way. And it's true, women had more power when they were obeying Yahweh than they do now, even as heads of countries. So these leaders, so-called leaders, do not belong as leaders of countries. You can see that everything is cheapened. Just like that word, execrable. Like cheap wine. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Number one, I don't respect women leaders. Unless they were women leaders of that were leading other women to do the right thing and to obey Yahweh, then I would say I respect women leaders. A woman leader to me would be somebody who would stand up for Yahweh, obey her husband, set an example for the other women to follow, and do her best to bring her children up in the right ways of Yahweh and support her man, who would also be doing the same things. Those are the leaders of women that I would respect. I have zero respect for any of these women that are involved in politics. Zero. Not even 1%. Not even 1%. If you're a woman and you want to be a man and you want to step in the shoes of a man, I want nothing to do with you. And that's how I see many American women. That's why I don't pursue American women. They want to be men. They even try to take the S's out of their voice and try to speak like this and things like that. You know, they could look like a beautiful woman and they still trying to get rid of that S. I want to be very manly and yes, let's speak like this here, right here now. Yeah, well, that is such a turnoff. But anyway, who cares? You know, I know I'm going to hear some crap about this, but you know what? Too bad. See, if you can take the truth about other things, how come you can't take the truth about yourself? I have to take truth about myself. I can deal with the truth about me. You know, not all truth you're going to like. Sometimes the truth is going to hurt you. But if you love the truth, then you love the truth. Because even if it hurts you a little bit, it's doing something to you that's going to help you and set you in the right direction. So we must not just love truth that affects just everybody else. We must love even truth that affects us. Oh, yes. If there's anything I love in a woman is a feminine woman. One that has daintiness. One that wears a dress. When I look at the old Westerns with the women, the way they dressed and how they supported their husbands and their families. And of course, they started with that voting thing. That's when they tried to ruin everything, and they did ruin it. The Jewesses made sure that they ruined everything for us. But women were wonderful, and they were a driving force that helped the men drive, too. You see, even the children were a driving force in the family, and the woman was part of the backbone of the man. It was a wonderful thing. And what you women don't realize is that you've lost a wonderful position that Yahweh has given you specially. You've let the Jews steal that position from you because they were very, very, very jealous of you. Men would hold doors for you. Men would put their coats down in the water so that you could walk across. Men would do anything for you. Now, men don't even want to protect you when the rapes come on. How is that good progress, ladies? I guarantee you that if you were in Yahweh's, in the position that Yahweh had carved out of the world for you, you would love it. It was a wonderful thing. A woman would be helped down from a carriage. She would be helped up to the carriage. And so many examples of class. And that's why I say, not only are not the men of today not the men that Yahweh had brought forth, but the women of today are not the women that Yahweh have brought forth. Not all of them. I'm not saying everyone. I'm saying the majority. So it goes for men too. Men aren't supposed to talk like this. You know what I mean? They're just not supposed to. I don't know why I see this everywhere I look on the internet. These men, even if they look like, you know, a rough and tough man, they're talking like a fairy. And the woman is talking like a man. But anyway, let's move along. Such misconceptions of his origin, structure, and purpose were eagerly fostered and disseminated by, all right, we'll go back to the Germans, the Nazis themselves. We know how belief in them has already led a dozen nations to their doom. And yet, not so long ago, a prominent member of our Congress arose and declared that the German idea of world dominion was a fantasy, and advised Americans to dismiss the avowed aims of the Nazis, a fabulous myth. Such utterances are not only born of incredible stupidity, you ought to know, Jew, but if not downright traitorous, are extremely dangerous, for they tend to blind people to those stark realities which they must face firmly and honestly, if they are to ever successfully combat them. Two, such beliefs tend to diffuse among our people that same indifference, lethargy, and irresponsibility which permeated the peoples of those nations which one by one fell victim to the German peril. These nations found that the German peril was not a myth. The sufferings of their people are the best description of the German character, methods, and final aims. Again, fits the Jew to a T. Fits the Jew to a T. Do you know how many nations were happy when the Germans came in, including Russia? All those nations around Germany, most of them, joined willingly and were very happy to be part of Germany, or to be part of what the Germans were embarking upon. You can't listen to these Jews. You have to study World War II history for yourself. And I will say that I'm very interested in this history, because if they've taken this much time to lie about this much of it, it must be very important to know about. And because they don't wish to discuss it, there must be more there than meets the eye. And so I will dig and dig and find the kernels within the story. The only one that has the idea of world dominion is the Jew, because he is an internationalist. And it is a fantasy of the Jew, because he will not have world dominion, no matter how much he wants to. He may have control of our countries at this point with the Federal Reserve Bank, but this is not his country. These are not his countries. And you know, the very proof that it is not his country is the proof that they have to bring these people into our country to try to destroy us, because the Jew hasn't been able to do it. So he brings, just like what happened in the Byzantine Empire, he brings foreigners into the nation to do it for him, because he can't do it himself. The Jew is not capable of tending the garden. The Jew, like all other races, are sub-races. You can get mad as you want. You can jump up and down. You can dance. You can scream. You can holler. But if you look back far enough into history, you will find that all the races other than the seed of Jacob have always been known as sub-races. If that wasn't true, then why did Yahweh bring us here to tend this garden? If he already had somebody that was capable of tending this garden, he would not have needed to bring us here to tend the garden. That is proof alone that what I'm telling you is the truth. Does that mean I'm a supremacist? No. Does that mean that I hate the other race? Nope. We've been a blessing to all the other races. Continual blessing. And we've received nothing but anger, hate, and hostility because of it. Now, the Jew has stirred the pot up and has made all these sub-races believe that they are equal to us, including themselves, because the Jews are a sub-race. Yes, they were not included as citizens when our Constitution was written. They were not included in Europe as citizens until they were let out of the ghettos until Napoleon had turned over the crown to them. All through that rest of that time, they've always been known as a sub-race. The Chinamen have always been known as a sub-race. The Negroes have always been known as beasts of the field. You can see by the way they kill our people that they are nothing but beasts of the field. I mean, it's just, you can look in their eyes and tell they don't have an understanding. They're no better than animals. You can see that the Indians of India are crapping all over the place like animals do, and so are the Muslims. They do that in their country. You can say somebody's equal to somebody else. You might even get people in my race to believe that they're equal to us, but they're still not equal. I just saw a black-on-white crime. And this one was a black man went into a bank and he said he wanted to get one of those boxes where you put your precious items. He went in there and the woman that took him over to he raped her right in the bank. Does that sound like somebody who is civil? Does that sound like somebody who is cultured? Does that sound like somebody who is a good citizen? Somebody of normal mind? Does that sound like somebody that is a decent person? And you say, well, that's only one black. Oh, this happens all the time. All this kind of nonsense happens all the time. Oh, there was another one in a train station this week. I just saw it. And he raped this woman right on camera in the train station. And the media tried to hide it. But now it's out in the open. So don't just try to tell me it's one. This is going on in Europe. This is going on in America. It's been going on in America. And it's not far-fetched whatsoever. Do these sound like people that you would want to have in your society that you believe are equal to you? Now, I don't care if you get upset about that. You know, your dog is not equal to you, but you love your dog, right? You don't hate your dog because he's not equal to you. And you take care of your dog. Well, just because Yahweh put us here to tend the garden doesn't mean I hate those races. We've taken very good care of those races. The Jew tells you that because you don't want to live with other races, that you are a supremacist. But the fact is why would I want to live with other races when I see that it doesn't work? When Yahweh told us it doesn't work in the first place. It has done nothing but degrade our nation. It has done nothing but cause problems between the races and now has brought hatred between the races. Hatred that was not there before. The Jew has stirred up the pot of hatred deliberately. And this is nothing new. There really is nothing new under the sun. What can you say about it? The Jew will continue to stir the pot up as well. But let me tell you something, other races. You're digging yourself into a hole that you'll never be able to get out of by doing the things you're doing. You can't honestly believe that you're going to get away with what you're doing. You have to know that we are the tribes of Israel, whether you believe it or not. You will believe it, I guarantee it. But if you curse Israel, you will be cursed. And you know something? When you look at the black race, they've done a lot of cursing of Israel, of the white race. And you can see the curse upon their lives. They can't see this, the curse upon their lives. Even the Jew has the curse upon them. You can tell. They're not Israelites. Never have been, never will be. But you can see the curse coming upon them. If you keep participating in these things and doing these dastardly things, make no mistake that there is a price to pay. Make no mistake. I don't expect you black people to know that the Jew has always used you and used your race. But I hope, I have spoken to black people that knew that the Jew was doing these things, so there is hope that maybe you'll find out and maybe you'll stop this nonsense. Maybe you'll turn on the Jew and rend them instead of rending us, who have done nothing but give you blessings. We've brought blessings to your continent. And what did you do? You cursed us. We brought blessings to Haiti. You cursed us. We brought blessings to you in America. You've cursed us. And if you don't think we know that, we know it very well. You're not getting away with anything. You just think you are. Just like the Jew. Only the Jew knows there's no hope for him at all. I really don't like the world the way it is. Everything's gone over the edge. But I understand why it is that way, and I told you that the Jew who pretends he's a Catholic, John Kerry, said that they were going to bring order out of chaos. This is a Masonic principle. But it's only in copy of Yahweh because the universe, he brought this universe into order. You see, they've created the chaos by bringing these people into your nations, our nations. They've created chaos financially. They're trying to destroy the soil. They're trying to destroy many species. They're trying to destroy all of our culture. They say it's in the guise of diversity. But let me tell you that if the whole world turns into a brown man, where will there be diversity? Can you tell me? All culture will be the same. All religion will be the same. Will you have good French cooking anymore? No. Will you go to Italy and enjoy the wonderful sights and the wonderful food? No. Will you come to America and see how America is? No. It'll be one big ghetto. And that's what it's going to turn into. You can see the evidence of it just by looking at Detroit, just by looking at what the blacks have done down in the south of Africa. In one day, they've totally destroyed the beautiful, beautiful beaches down there. The Jew is leading you, brown people, to a hell. You may wish, do you know what happens to places like South Africa? You know what they do? They say, when we were under white rule, it was so much better. If you possibly could get rid of all us white people, and you finally had your brown world that you think is going to be so fantastic, what is the picture of this brown world? What is it going to be like? Well, it's going to be like a war zone. It's going to be full of treason and treachery. It's going to be a ghetto with trash all over the streets. It's going to be a place where you would not want to bring your children up. Yet you're so stupid, you'll keep having more and more children. You will be nothing but slaves, thinking that if you just, the Jew tells you, if you just kill Germany, we'll have peace. If we just kill all the white people, we'll have peace. Wait till you see what a world would be like here without. If it could happen, which I don't think it's going to happen. But just let's say it did happen. You are going to be living in a literal garbage hellhole. And the Jews are going to get sick of you, and they'll begin to kill you next. And they'll say, well, if we just get rid of the black people, or the brown people, I don't know which one they would pick. They want to make sure they breed those people out too. I don't know exactly what they would do, but they want to bring it down to a certain level so that they can completely control you. And just like Germany was the last vestige for Europe, the white people, the Adamites, the Israelites, the true Israel of the Bible, is the only thing that's holding this world from turning into a garbage hole, complete hell hole. So be sure to make sure you want to get rid of Whitey. Make sure that you know what it's going to be like when Whitey's gone, if that was possible. Because sometimes the things that we get aren't like we thought they would be. King Zwelithini of the Zulu tribe over there recently made a statement saying the very thing. These Jews and Freemasons went over there in the guise of the ANC, which is communism, and they've killed off many of the white South Africans, which used to feed the whole planet, whole continent. Now the farms are in devastation. The Negroes own farms, but they don't do any farming because they can't farm. Now King Zwelithini has realized, he said it was better when the white man was here, that we lived much, much, much better when the white man was here. He showed the pictures in the article of the garbage all over the streets. You think I'm kidding you that it'll turn into a garbage hole? I'm dead. I'm serious. Just go look at Detroit. You black people aren't able to tend the garden. You can't even take care of your own race, never mind be a blessing to any other race. Now, there's a truth that might hurt you, but that's just the way it is. So be careful as you go to kill your next white person. You're only killing yourself. You're only killing any chance you have at all at living a decent life. I just find it quite amazing. It's very ironic. You blacks think that if you could just get in charge. Well, look, you're in charge in Baltimore. How is it? How do you like that place? Nice place, huh? How do you like Haiti? Nice place to live, isn't it? I hear you're in charge in Chicago and Baltimore. How is it? It's nice to live like that, isn't it? Isn't that exciting? Just think, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. If you think it's bad now, if you remove all the white people, what do you think it's going to be like then? You can't see right in front of your face. I'm glad that we won't have to deal with this horrible world much longer. And I cannot wait until Yahweh returns to put it back in order. Beware, you're in trouble. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.